Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
1 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on your home for KC Sports 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the audio fun bag from the weekend here in about 15, 20 minutes or so. But on Tuesdays, we always like to get great perspective from our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor, over at The Athletic. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, I'll start with just how you handled the weekend. Denver flight issues. I don't think you guys made it out there, if I'm not mistaken, right? There was no reason to actually fly to Denver to cover this thing.
Yeah, correct. I went back and forth on if I needed to cover this game in person, and then Mother Nature told me, "Yeah, why don't you not pack?" So
smart.
My flight got canceled pretty much as the team was on the tarmac waiting to get the clearance for takeoff. Honestly, so I watched the game, you know, with my son Hayden, with my wife Holly.
Not much to watch.
I mean, guys. I'll be honest.
It was awful.
I think I slept through some of the third quarter.
It was a third preseason game, but even worse because like everybody just wanted to get to the playoffs at this point in time. Was there anything you truly took away that you think is, I guess, valuable for this year's team?
I don't think you can play DJ Humphries. Sorry. I don't know if that was this the. Sometimes you make plans and God laughs, and God also gives you Joe Tooney, okay? And he gives you Mike Caliendo. You're asking a lot, right? I mean, one of the benefits of watching Carson Wentz, you know, in a different light was supposed to be like, hey, at least he'll have like DeAndre Hopkins for like a quarter and like Xavier Worthy, and who knows, maybe Hollywood Brown needs to get a couple more snaps. And then Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were like, are you insane? No. We'll give him Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, and Nico Remigio.
Nice catch by Remigio, though, you know?
Yeah. I think the person who actually benefited the most was Nico Remigio, because if you remember, he fumbled in the Christmas Day game as a punt returner against the Steelers. Thankfully, the Chiefs recovered the ball, so most people don't remember that. So he needed a bounce-back game, and look, he demonstrates that he can be an effective slot receiver when given the opportunity, because at least the Broncos were definitely trying to win the game, and they played their starters the entire game, essentially. So I thought maybe he was like the biggest benefactor of it. It's like, hey, Nico has legitimate tape against a legitimate opponent, doing pretty well, which means he'll probably be back on the team, or like, you know, he might have a little bit more options I'm not sure what his free agent status is in terms of he's restricted or not. But for DJ Humphries, it's like, hey, man, it's not really about you at this point. It's unfortunate that you only got two games. One of them did not include Patrick Mahomes. The other game, you couldn't finish with Patrick Mahomes because of a hamstring injury. You had no training camp. You had no preseason. You had no padded practices before you went out there and tried to block Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. So it's just unfortunate. Like, the timing never worked out. And watching the nightmare that I think flashed between every Chiefs fan's eyes is, and again, this is probably when I like started napping. I think it was right after this drive, was the idea of like, okay, Andy's like, we got to put some points on the board. We got to give Carson a chance. Okay, I might call a decent play here. Okay, it's fourth down. We're kind of in no man's territory. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's get the boys, you know, let's give them something. And then Nick Pitino went right by DJ Humphries. And, yeah, we don't need to see that again. I'm sorry. Like, that guy's going to be in the playoffs. He's going to play on, what, Saturday night, Sunday night or whatever. He might be terrifying for the starting left tackle, right tackle for the Buffalo Bills when it comes to Josh Allen, or at least getting pressure on Josh Allen. So that was legitimate competition as much as you could get between now and obviously the divisional round. So I just think we never saw that with Joe Tooney. So why would I put any level of comfort from Patrick's standpoint in jeopardy because we're trying, you know, our plan just didn't work. Like that injury and the timing and the coming off the ACL and obviously that low light, it pretty much confirmed to me that, like, Andy Reid might still put him out there, but I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze when Joe Tooney's been not having that same issue.
Nate, what if I told you the biggest thing out of the game for me is that for the first time in 5 years and multiple Super Bowls, I have some concerns over the kicking game. Harrison Butker does not look right. It all looks out of rhythm or out of sync or off in some way, and has since the day he's come back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
At what point are we going to just be like, they're creatures of habit and rhythm, and he's never found it again?
And they told us, even as they were bringing him back, what I thought was maybe a week too soon, when Matthew Wright just made all his kicks, was the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Yes, it doinked, but it went in. Let's not forget that. Dave told us, yeah, he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year. And it's not like, okay, that's similar to the 22 season, right? Everybody remembers Patrick's high ankle sprain, but throughout the entire course of the season, they had to manage Harrison Butker's high ankle sprain. Well, this is not that. This is coming off a knee surgery. You're not going to change your technique, which is going to put, you know, more pressure on the knee that you just had surgically repaired. Now we put you in the most pressure-packed situations, which you've been clutch. You've been the Adam Vinatieri of this era. You've been a better kicker than Justin Tucker. But if he misses one on the 18th, I think the Chiefs will play on the 18th, ladies and gentlemen. Set your calendars now. They'll probably play on that Saturday night. It's going to be cold. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a brick. If he misses one, fool, buddy.
He couldn't even hit an altitude.
And he didn't get another opportunity, which is not great either. So mentally, you're just, I'm not saying you're thinking about that the whole 2 weeks, but you would like to get a redo, you know, you would like to get a chance to sort of redeem yourself, which he of course did in Cleveland in his first game back after, you know, his 4 or 5 week time on the IR. The only bright side to this is you have the world's best football player. So you give him 4 downs if you're on the plus side of the field, and you kind of live with the results. I know Dan Campbell has ridden that to a 15-2 record, and he deserves a lot of credit with Jared Goff and their ability to, you know, stay poised when it's the fourth down situations, whether it's in the second quarter, third quarter. But, you know, how much, like, I don't know if because of all the things I just said, circumstance-wise, how long will Andy Reid give him a leash if he misses one in the first quarter, or if he misses an important kick that, hey, maybe you can go up 2 scores right before the half. Instead, he misses it and it's still a 6-point game or it's still a 7-point game. How much of a leash does he get? But again, it's going to get colder, it's going to get darker, and that thing's going to get even more brick-ish trying to kick a field goal. That's, you know, potentially whether or not you move on in the postseason. It's a puzzling decision. Because do you limit his range? I guess that's the question. You know, can you help the accuracy if you say, we're not going to let you try a 55-yarder? We're just going to treat it more conventional, like, hey, your range is like 48 and in. Do you sort of start to mitigate it to some degree so that his accuracy isn't compromised by the fact that he's trying to power the ball when he doesn't have, like, the full strength in his leg and especially in his plant knee?
Definitely going to be something we'll be talking about heading into the divisional round game and keeping an eye on during that matchup as well. Before we get to the rest of the playoff field, because I want to get your perspective on this weekend with the AFC games, what are you hearing this offseason about potentially some interviews and maybe some personnel movement? We know there's some reporting out there that Mike Bergonzi, Chiefs assistant GM, has been requested for an interview, at least with New York. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then also Matt Nagy.
Now, look. I don't know what's going to happen with Matt Nagy, Cubes. I don't know. And in fact, I'd say it might not happen, right? There are a lot more scintillating younger options. Ben Johnson, there are more well-established first-year coaches who are entering the retread standpoint. I don't know if you read on the athletic.com, but we gave Mike Vrabel a lot of coffee, kids. Which,
well, there are a lot of teams who want him.
Which signaled to me, yeah, he will start the carousel or the second wave of the carousel, which is like, okay, once he goes, then the dominoes will start to fall. So, you know, I love Mike Vrabel, by the way. Very good coach. You know, Previ's really fooled them on the Jay Sneed trade. And then they looked up and they were like, please, so don't. We don't even have the first pick in the third round. Fire this man immediately. And you're like, he wasn't even a part of the Will Levis decision, but okay, cool. Tennessee, keep sputtering into whatever you're doing. So in light of all of this, I don't think there's much traction with Matt Nagy unless he blows the doors off or if Mike Bergonzi goes to the wall for this man. Now, we all saw that there was a chance, potentially back in the day, that like, hey, Chicago has a job. Hey, like Ryan Pace could, you know, be exited for Ryan Poles, which could lead to like Eric Bieniemy. That did not happen, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Bieniemy never got the call. So it won't surprise me if Mike Bergonzi, who's from, you know, the East Coast, who's very good at his job, gets the opportunity. But you can't pair this man with Ryan. You can't.
Just for fun.
You can't do it.
No, God, no. Please don't do it. Rex Ryan there would just be such a joke. If I'm Bergonzi, I'm just not taking the job if it's Rex Ryan.
I mean, Rex Ryan or Arthur Smith. I saw they're interviewing Arthur Smith. That's another guy. I can't believe it.
Nah. I mean, you just do it for due diligence, and I appreciate that. Because you have time now. I think what is so interesting from like when I first started covering the league to where we are now is the league has actually implemented like, hey man, take your time. Like, this doesn't need to be done in 4 days, okay? Like, you're gonna get the whole postseason essentially. You're gonna get until Super Bowl Sunday to kind of like make your pick, and then you bring your staff together, then you go to the combine, and like that's a more traditional style. We don't have to do this nonsense that we did back in the old West where you fired somebody on Black Monday and you were like, quote unquote, had a handshake agreement on Thursday. Like, we shouldn't do that. So again, having more time allows you to do more due diligence, which should allow you to, you know, fulfill the Rooney rule more than once. But I digress.
For fun, if Matt Nagy just took a job, would they just promote Blamire? Would they bring back Kafka? Like, what do you want us to think they do at OC?
Oh, I'm so happy you mentioned his name. What's going to happen to Mike Kafka?
They wanted him to stay so bad, Nate. You remember they turned down an interview once? They wouldn't even let someone talk to the man once.
Right. Bring him home. And the only reason I want to remind people too, the other reason why Mike Kafka left was because Brian Daboll had to beg this man, please call the plays. I swear I'll let you call the plays. I promise I'll let you call the plays. All right, after a year, I'm going to call the plays.
Yeah, that lasted one season.
And so it's like, it's so funny how the game works. It's like, dog, I promise you, you're going to get to call all these plays. Hey, Daniel Jones had a career year. We went to the playoffs. Yeah, man, I'm going to take over now because, you know, I got to stun on them. I got to show what I'm about. I'm Brian Daboll out here. That's what I do. Wow, that hasn't gone well.
Kept
since
his job.
Daniel Jones. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? So people are saying, well, what about Doug Peterson? And I'm like, no, baby. My calf, because where it's at. Bring him back, which is hilarious because it could happen, I guess, theoretically. I don't know what Doug Peterson's going to do. He may take a year off. You know, he may try to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else if Matt Nagy stays, of course. But let's say, to your point, if Matt Nagy gets, like, the job in – it'd be hilarious if he got the job in Jacksonville. but, like, let's say he gets the job, right? I mean, you want to – maybe they would promote Joe Blamire. I think he's a reasonable candidate, obviously. You know, he's been here quite a bit, so he knows the whole system. Obviously, he and Patrick have a pretty good relationship. Would you do that more than, like, bring Doug Peterson back? But, again, you ain't seen Mike Kafka in the bar in a while, and she's back, baby. Can I buy you a drink?
What about out in Vegas, though? Is Antonio Pierce going to actually keep his job? They haven't made a decision yet.
Hey, what is Mr. Davis doing? I only say that, like, tongue-in-cheek. Literally, what are you doing, man?
You can't afford it, man.
Yeah, is that what it is?
The Aces? You worried about the Aces? You getting ready for the Aces?
You can't be having. How many coaches is he paying? Still, like four?
I don't know if the Gruden contract is through yet. It's crazy. Hey, man, he's just like, look, best season's over. Let me worry about my, like, contending top of the league championship Las Vegas Aces, baby. Wait, I'm saying, what? Tom Brady wants me to get on the phone? For who? For what? Huh? You want to win? Like, no! So, if you think that Mike Vrabel ain't answering the phone, which I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I would tell Mike Vrabel, don't you answer a single phone call from the Raiders.
I wouldn't.
If Ben Johnson is like, no, I'm good. Okay, then we'll just run this back next year.
Jeez.
Next year's draft class good at quarterback? Not really, Mr. Davis.
It's a problem, Nate.
I don't know what they're going to do.
It's a problem. I don't know any other way to put it. Hey, by the way, since this is the only chance we'll get to ask you, of the four teams the Chiefs could possibly face, we understand the most likely. But if you were the Chiefs and you got to handpick one of those four you got to see in the next round, who would it be? I think it's the Steelers for me and then the Texans.
Okay. I have a different opinion on this, right? Because I know Andy Reid. He'll never say this publicly. And I think he told him and Steve Spagnuolo to be like, hey, man, just – we only got to be out here for 3 hours. Only 3 hours. Let's give, I mean.
Sure.
If Andy Reid could get another crack at Sean Payton, he will absolutely pants this man in front of him.
Well, sure. I would love the Broncos to upset the Bills, too. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely pull his pants down, point at him, and laugh, okay? Like, now, it's improbable that the Broncos will probably beat the Buffalo Bills. I understand that. The Bills are a far better team. They've been in the playoffs. This is a very young group, so I understand what Sean Payton's doing. But, hey, you never know. What's a one-game sample size, kids? If, and by the way, I don't think the seventh seed has ever won a game yet in this new format, so we're really just doing this for giggles. If the Broncos win, right, and that immediately means that that's the Chiefs' opponent, can you imagine – the way Steve Spagnuolo looked on Sunday, and then you could tell me 2 weeks later, he said, they don't get another year. just screaming from the top of his lungs, engage eight, bring the house, overload, simulated pressures, double A-gap pressures, like corner pressures, like deep safety pressures. Like, I just can't imagine like what world he will put Bo Nix in his second ever postseason game at Arrowhead Stadium when, you know, the scoreboard, as I'm sure Andy Reid will remind his players the entire week leading up to the game. Oh, yeah, 38. No, there's no reason I mentioned that number. 38, guys, 38. So I just think if it was up to the Chiefs, they would love to put the Broncos back in their place.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Love it, man. Appreciate it. It's postseason time. We'll get another week to have you on next week at least. So we thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I think my back's okay. I've finished shoveling. And please, Lord, don't let it snow ever again this month.
For rest of the year, I'm good.
There you go. Yep. Nate Taylor, he joins us each and every Tuesday. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.
I was legit sore. I don't know if that makes me a sad individual.
I mean,
I shoveled
know,
like four times.
None of us are common, in good shape. Yeah.
I was legit sore.
Even if you're in good shape, I feel like it's
my shoulders were, even using the snow thrower, my shoulders were a little sore.
You didn't have to use the gym this week if you like went out and
I did
shoveled
sign up.
Four times.
I did sign
you
up.
You told me that, yeah.
Yeah, I did sign up.
Have you
up.
Gone yet?
No, because I signed up on Friday and then the storm hit. I realized I should have, what am I, why did I was like, I realized I should have saved
really
myself 4 days
to...
of prorated money, you know?
But, yeah, that was a really terrible day to sign up.
Yeah,
man.
No, I have not been. I'm obviously not going today. It'll be probably later this week when we start going.
I'm just waiting for. I know you said you're only doing cardio, but Cody, I'm waiting for him to have the gallon jug.
No, I won't.
Oh, dude, he walks in with one of those
Gymshark gear. Yeah,
I don't think I'll do that.
He's like, well, I got to go to the gym after. If Alex walks in here in just like his full workout gear and his like giant, like the gas, not just like the water jug, the one that has like a carrying strap.
Sorry, guys, I was really late. I got back from the gym.
Like,
you know,
that like tiny backpack that's just got your pre-workout in it.
I
might start drinking more
blender bottles.
I might start drinking more water though than I did. Normally, I drink Propel, and that's like one bottle, and that's it. You might see me start drinking more water, but not. I'm not going to have the like the full blown like shaker cup thing or whatever.
The blender bottle.
Yeah.
See, I got his protein in for lunch.
Someone says, "Gold, be careful. They don't make Vineyard Vine shirts for buff dudes." No, again, just cardio. Just going to do some cardio stuff at first. Just want to, you know, not be completely out of shape. I'm turning 34 on Sunday, so I would do, you know, I think metabolism will start slowing down more and more. Would like to.
It will.
Yeah, that's it.
No,
that's the reason, man. That's the reason. All right, guys, up next, we'll get to our what's trending. Maybe audio fun bag we'll have to push back. We ran out of time there.
Let's
we were talking today. Maybe we'll do audio fun bag tomorrow. So we'll do what's trending. And then earlier today, we had Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, join us. We got some perspective on the Royals signings from him and also talked about who he thinks could pull off an upset this weekend.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on What's Trending is not only that we have the playoff field set, but it is that time of the NFL season where you start to have coaching interviews taking place for the openings. Yeah, the key card not working for a couple cities when it comes to their head coaches. How about New Orleans, the Jets, Bears, the Jags, the Patriots all have coaching vacancies. I asked Nate Taylor about the Raiders. That's kind of the surprise one right now. Antonio Pierce has not lost his job. I mean, good for him. Maybe they won't be able to find a new head coach and decide to stick with Antonio Pierce for another year. We'll see. The hot name, though, is Mike Vrabel and then Ben Johnson. But Mike Vrabel most likely will be the first head coach that gets a gig.
I'd be really surprised if he didn't kick off the head coach cycle. The Jets just announced another potential candidate for them. They've asked for permission to talk to Darren Rizzi.
I saw that.
Who's the interim head coach over there in New Orleans. Casting a wide net there in New York.
Yeah.
Just finished their interview with Rex Ryan. They'd like to talk to the Saints interim coach. Loser franchise. Next up on Watch Training. Speaking of which, we'll speak to Vinny Pasquantino, fan of the Jets.
That's right.
Coming up here in just a few minutes. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals did make a couple of moves yesterday and the day before. Michael Lorenzen, a one-year, $7 million deal to give them some starting pitching insurance, and Kevin Biggio on a minor league contract on Sunday, giving them, I think, their Adam Frazier replacement.
Local college basketball, number 11, Kansas, got a 99-48 win over UCF.
God,
Kansas State
them.
Lost 63-62 to TCU. And the Missouri Tigers, they're in action tonight against LSU after losing over the weekend 84-68 to Auburn, who is maybe the best team in all college basketball. We shall see.
Probably are. Good test for Missouri. They've already beaten Kansas, who is still a top 15 ranked team, obviously, in the country. But yeah, Auburn kind of stuck it to him. Kansas felt like they were just taking out some anger.
Oh, they were embarrassed against West Virginia.
Yeah.
Although West Virginia, I think, like, it's amazing. They're going to have their best player, and they have a first-year head coach, and they continue to win basketball games. Like, it's been a really impressive start. I think they won over the weekend, didn't they? So I don't know if West Virginia, they got Arizona coming up, but I was trying to see if West Virginia beat Oklahoma State as well. So they're, West Virginia's 2-0 to start conference play as well.
It's a pretty good indication of at least of where they are. Next up on Watch Trending, and lastly, we have some playoff t-shirts. Thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. Keep a lookout. We're going to tell you how to get your hands on these next week. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate, or if you're watching at home this weekend. You know we love a good playoff t-shirt drop. I feel like this show actually started the t-shirt drop, and then now it's continued on, which it's fine.
Are you saying you invented t-shirt drops?
I'm saying for this station, okay. You and I brought them back. It's like we didn't invent them, but it's like, you know, like when a fashion goes out for a little bit and then somebody brings some style back, we brought it back.
You want
we brought back interns. We brought back interns briefly. Those are gone again too. But we brought back interns briefly and we brought back the t-shirt drop.
I am excited that we're going to be doing this. So, yeah. So, more details next week. Thanks to Gates Barbecue. Why not get some playoff t-shirts for the three-peat run? All right. Earlier today, we had our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, join us. We got into the coaching carousel a bit and also talked a little baseball.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Mmm. beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Well, Vinny, the mess of the 2024 season for the Jets is officially in the rearview mirror. Now there's hope. There you can look to the future again.
Yeah, that's right. And I am, as I always do. I'm ever the positive person, whatever the word.
Eternal optimist. Yeah.
I'm forever the optimist when it comes to the New York Jets, and I'm very excited about the future of what's going to happen in Florham Park, New Jersey.
Who do you want? Who's your head coaching candidate of choice?
It doesn't matter who I want because I don't really know because I don't know. Probably Vrabel.
I mean, that's a stabilizing force. You got to like that.
Probably Vrabel. Maybe Brian Flores. Like, I just want somebody who's going to – I just don't want to see a bunch of penalties. If you're going to lose, lose. Just get beat. Don't beat yourselves. That's all I want.
Play clean football. That's what it sounds like you're going for.
Clean football. That's all I ask. Clean football, and I'll be happy.
Before we get to the rest of the matchups, I do want to ask you, you had sent out a tweet yesterday. Michael Lorenzen, back with the Royals, he was the fantasy football team champion?
The guillotine fantasy champion, which is the league that ended up being the most cared about, at least in my opinion, because my team was better in it. Kyle Wright was the winner of the big league, so congratulations to him. Two pitchers, which sucks for everybody.
Mm-hmm. They got more time, dude.
They got more time. It just sucks. But I texted Lorenzen yesterday in the group, and I just said you couldn't get. It was his first year playing, which is the worst part. So he had to come back really to defend his crown, and we're excited to have him back.
Do you guys have a trophy?
No trophy because the amount of money that he won. The one will be more than enough than a trophy. He'll take the money instead of a trophy.
I kind of want to ask how much money, but the way you said that.
That's an off-air thing. I don't think that's an on-air dollar.
Curious,
I don't think it's an on-air dollar, Matt. Let's put it this way, Cody. You and I probably can't get in the league for financial reasons, and just Vinny's never going to have us in the league. It's a baseball player thing.
I mean, it's really not that much. Like, it's not like life changing, but it's good money. It's solid money.
If you guys ever have like, it's 24 hours before the draft and you got nobody else on the team will do it. Can I be in then?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like that's not going
to
be the case.
There are ways to work around that as in like getting the staff involved or anything like that. But yeah, I'll put you on the short list.
Okay. Yeah. I can be behind members of the organization or something. That's fine.
Yeah. There you go.
Last question I want to ask you before we get to football. Yesterday, I saw some news that Brent Rooker got a new contract from the A's. I thought you guys were boys. Were you happy for Brent?
Very happy. We work out together. Well, kind of. He lives in Memphis now, but we hit at the same place. We have the same agent. So big day for the agency. There's been a lot of positive talk in the agency this morning. There's probably 15 of us here this morning. Our agent got a round of applause when he showed up this morning after a late night, I guess, on the phone. Happy for Rooker. It's good for the A's. You know, they're investing in players, which is really cool. And I know he's pumped about it. So he's on the West Coast right now. He's actually out in Sacramento. So I don't think he's woken up yet, but I'm sure his phone is blowing up as we speak. Really happy for him.
What do you think that's going to be like for you? At some point next year, you guys will play out in Sacramento. And then I guess the Rays are playing at a minor league or a spring training facility because of, unfortunately, Tropicana. So what's that like for a big league player? You guys are playing in technically, what, two minor league parks next year, basically?
We actually finish out on the West Coast next year. I think we finish with Sacramento, then Anaheim, or it's Anaheim and Sacramento.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, hopefully we're clinched by then, but you know, we might clinch in Sacramento, which would be interesting, just locker room-wise. I've never been there, but
can't be normal.
Probably not normal. I don't know. The Steinbrenner Field down in Florida it's really nice. Like, I've played there before. I played there in high school, I believe. Haven't been there since. I don't know if they've done any renovations or anything, but that stadium's pretty nice. I mean, that's as close to a big league park as you can get from a spring training stadium, so that'll be fine. We joke, Brandon Lau is here as well. He's making like 10 this year, something like that. And the Yankees are on the payroll for like 15 million. So we always get the joke with him that he's the second highest paid player on the Rays behind the Yankees.
Now that Brent Rooker got his deal, now you can tell your agent to get to work, you know, say, hey, you know, there's other people who need contracts eventually, you know?
He's a busy man. So arbitration's about to happen. There's a bunch of guys, you know, he's got to lock in. I'm glad he got that deal done for Rooker. Now he's got to lock in with arbitration.
We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. We already got your thought on the Jets, maybe Vrabel or somebody like that you would like to see as the next head coach of the Jets. What job, honestly, do you think is the best of the group that's open right now? Saints, Jets, Bears, Jags, Patriots. What's the best situation you think to walk into?
Probably whoever's got the quarterback. So Patriots, Jaguars, Bears. You might have Aaron Rodgers in New York, Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know. I think the Saints is probably the worst job. That's probably the easiest one to answer. They have like, what, $100 million in negative
stuck
cap.
Stuck with Derek Carr, yeah.
That feels like it's got first-time head coach written all over it. Probably the Patriots. Seems like they've got pretty stable ownership. I say that, and they fired Gerard Mayo after 1 year.
Yeah.
Which I personally don't love, but, you know, I don't really know who's the best job. I think there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. All of them are pretty good.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's not bad. No job's bad, certainly, but I don't know, man. Like, the more I look around, it's like you got to at least feel like you either have a quarterback or have a chance at a quarterback. I guess that's the question I'd have about the Jets, Vinny, is are they going to go the veteran route like some of these other teams have had success, like Baker or Sam Darnold? Or do they try to like find magic in a quarterback in the middle of the first round in what is not a particularly good first, you know, a quarterback draft?
I don't know. It's so tricky because it can happen from any spot in the draft, right? Like, I mean, you look at Purdy, he's been pretty good. I think development's huge, like knowing what you're looking for. How's it going to match your scheme? How's the communication going to be? How's the personalities going to match? I think there's just way more to it than the talent of a player. And I think you look at the best teams in the league, they've got stability at the head coaching spot, the GM spot, and the quarterback spot. And I think that's what every team's trying to look for right now, but it's just really hard to do, obviously.
Vinny, when you look at the bracket this weekend, let's start talking about some of these games individual. Let's start upset of the matchups this weekend. Where's the matchup where you're like, I think that team might get the better of the higher seeded team or the team favored in the game, you know, the upset pick.
I think the obvious one in my mind is the Steelers beating the Ravens, even though the Steelers haven't looked very good at all. But Lamar doesn't typically – I know he did the last time they played, but typically doesn't play well against them, and it's a playoff game. So two things working against Lamar there. I don't know. That feels like the obvious one to me. I don't know what Vegas has on the lines of the game, so I don't know what would be upsets or not. I'm trying to think. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Texans. I think the Ravens are going to beat the Steelers, but I think the Steelers could beat them. I think the Bills are going to beat the Broncos. I think the Eagles-Packers game is going to be really good. I think the Buccaneers are going to beat the Commanders because here's my hot take. What they did for Mike Evans to get him that $3.5 million or whatever it was, all vibes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The vibes are immaculate in Tampa right now, and I think they're going to win their first-round game. And then the Monday night game, who's that game?
Vikings-Rams. Rams.
Ooh, man, what a game. The Sam Darnold, like, legacy game. I don't know. I think the Vikings win that game. Those are my picks for the week.
I don't think it's crazy. I'd normally ask you power rankings, but now that we're in the playoffs, power rankings don't matter, you know?
I mean, it doesn't matter at all. The Lions are a wagon, huh? They just keep winning games.
They needed that bye week so badly based off of just their end. Like, the fact that they got the number one seed and found a way to win on that Sunday night game was just so massive for them. Because I think, Vinny, if they would have lost to the Vikings and still would have been dealing without a bye week since week 5, and then they would have had to go to L.A., I would have been taking the Rams to beat the Lions.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. They just, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, unreal, huh? That guy can run a football.
Kudos.
It's impressive to watch him play.
Where, by the way, do you think that this is always the question that happens in other sports? They were talking about it. Do you think there's any baseball players who could play in the NFL?
With how little I know about football, I really don't know. But, like, so, okay, what is speed, I guess, would be my answer. Like, Bobby's the fastest player in baseball, right? But how fast is he with pads on? Because I'm sure that matters a little bit. That's what I'd like to know. Like, what's his maybe I'll call him. What's your 40 time, Bob? I know he played, like, slot receiver or something in high school. But I just don't – I'm sure, like
– he's such a good athlete, I feel like he'd find
somebody.
A way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's some, but that's such a tough – like, because then if I was another baseball player on here, I'd be like, oh, nobody could play baseball. Like, I'm sure somebody could. it's a skill sport. I'm sure if they train the skill for 20 years, like all of us do, I'm sure they could, do it. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that question.
I'm just asking. When you look at the other side for the Chiefs game, did you take any stock into what happened on Sunday?
I didn't even see the game. Like, I didn't see one play.
You didn't miss
from
anything.
The game. So, no, I take zero stock in it. What are they? It's the team they might play in the first round for them. Yeah, we're going to put a lot of stuff on tape and show them what we want to do. I think that was just irrelevant to what the playoff games is going to look like.
I just don't think it, like, I look back at all the injuries that took place in the final week, and I think this is exactly why the Chiefs didn't take this game serious. Why risk any person getting injured?
Yeah, no, there's no need to risk it. Especially, like DeAndre Hopkins played, right, because he had an incentive. Like, I get that.
Yeah, he barely played. He was active, but he really didn't play. Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter at all. More rest for them. Get ready to go for the playoffs.
I do think that, like, as a teammate, that feels like something that everybody enjoy. Like, when I watch that Mike Evans moment, as, like, a professional athlete, Vinny, that feels like something you can relate to. Like, everybody knows that man needs 5 yards to get $3 million. I imagine if you're on a unit and you know somebody needs 10 more bats the rest of the way, internally, that's got to be a big celebration when someone gets a bonus like that.
100%. And also, I saw people being like, oh, the Saints should have put 11 guys on Mike Evans. Those players don't care.
Like, they don't care to stop Mike Evans there.
They're not going to let him get that yard or those yards, but if he gets those yards, it's like, sick, this guy just got $3.5 million.
I'm just trying to think of the baseball equivalent. I know there's incentives all the time in baseball contracts, but in that circumstance, it was one play. Everybody knew they were going to get the ball to Mike Evans. Is there even a baseball? Like, if we just knew, like, also it was a nice $3 million incentive too. It wasn't chump change. We're talking about $3 million for 5 yards or whatever.
Like, if you were just going to get a single, does somebody just let the ball get to the cap?
Dude. Like, we know Vinny needs one more home run for $2.5 million. I mean, that'd be crazy.
The situation would have to be something like at bats. And it's like, okay, you need 3 at-bats to get this amount of money. And it would be like, okay, the other manager intentionally walks you 3 times so you don't get the at-bat. Like, that's what it would be like.
Oh, God, that'd be ice cold. I just don't think they do that. I don't think other players hate other players enough for that.
Well, you got to remember, there's a difference between front office and, like, on-field personnel. Like,
sure.
Like, there are rivalries and hatred and things like that. Like, I want to beat the other guys, you know, like, badly, but that's not me. Like, I don't know. There's just, like, there's a respect thing about it where it's like, I'm not going to do everything in my power to make sure you don't make money.
Yeah. It's also like we're talking about the difference between players and management, right?
Yeah.
Between like workers 100%. And management. Management
like,
might try to prevent
you,
it, but
I'm not going to like let you hit your incentive on purpose, but I'm going to play the game. And I'm not going to do everything in my power to make sure you don't. Like, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you just don't catch the ball in general, not because of the money. If that makes sense, I don't know.
We're not going to quadruple. If Vinny gets a hit, he gets $3 million. We're not going to walk you so you can't get the hit.
Yeah, we're going to play the game. It was like kind of when Shohei had that opportunity to go for 50 or whatever, and instead of intentionally walking him, they pitched to him. It's like, just of respect to the game, they're going to pitch to him.
Lastly, before we let you go, we asked for wild card weekend predictions. We know the entire playoff field. Who's the AFC-NFC matchup in the title game?
I mean, it's the 2-1 seats. That's who I'm going with. I'm a simple man. Give me the Chiefs, give me the Lions, and let's go to New Orleans.
There you go.
I also saw you tweeting about wrestling last night. You going to WrestleMania?
No, but I'm going to – actually, I can't talk about this right now.
mystery.
All right.
I have no comment.
Okay, no comment.
I don't know if you're watching the Netflix. Was it on Raw now or Raw's on Netflix now or something like that last night?
Yeah, I watched it last night for fun.
Okay. Mystery. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's a tease for next week. Can you eventually tell us?
Yeah, I'll text you.
So that was Vinny Pasquantino joining us earlier today. It makes a little more sense now, but we'll have to let that one simmer out there publicly. Sorry.
I was like, wow. I mean, I'm trying to ask him how much money they're playing for.
You're nosy today with that.
Not on purpose, but I did come off a bit nosy today. That was a normal question. I just asked him if he was going to WrestleMania. That's a pretty normal question for someone who likes wrestling and I've seen at wrestling events. Sean Barber did text us. He says that two to four guys on an MLB team could be on a 53-man roster. So he's convinced there's enough athleticism in Major League Baseball.
Who do you think they would be?
Bobby Witt Jr. Absolutely.
He used to play slot wide receiver. Is that right?
I had said to him, like, if we're just saying any teams, Ellie De La Cruz.
Full-on athlete.
Ellie De La Cruz could play.
Back in the day.
If he just done nothing but train for the NFL. Yeah.
Back in the day, like 10 years ago when he was young, I would have said McCutcheon. I would have thought McCutcheon, also just freak athlete back in his heyday.
Or like Mike Trout. Could he have just like done what Leo Chanel does? Think about how fast he runs. How strong he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
So those three.
Those are three that come to mind.
Mookie Betts?
Too small.
Okay, he's just a great athlete.
I think he's just too small. He's unbelievable, but
he's an incredible athlete. That's all. But okay, I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. If we were asking the question, I'm just
Bartolo Colon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would have been my answer for sure.
The problem is like Ronald Acuna. He's pretty small too, isn't he? I'm sure you'd be the guys who like. I immediately
some
go
guys
to,
are
like,
too small.
Hey,
some guys are just too small. They can be athletic, but they're too small.
I'm just immediately eliminating any pitcher. It's like you.
Kyle Farnsworth back in the day could have just been like, I don't know.
Like a fullback?
I don't know. Just would have destroyed some special teams player.
Special teams player.
It would have been like Boomer Grigsby or something.
Bartolo Colon would be dude from the Ravens who got that pick.
Sean Barber says Aaron Judge.
The D-lineman.
Oh. Okay.
What's Aaron Judge playing?
He says
too big a tight end?
He says a bunch of outfielders. Yeah, so that fits McCutcheon as well.
Aaron Judge is Johnny Wilson right now.
Outfielders, that actually feels like the position. Like Juan Soto, if he'd done nothing but train, he's such a great athlete. He'd done nothing but train to be an NFL player his entire life. I got to imagine. Probably. Right? Probably. I can tell you, should we get to the list of guys who wouldn't make it?
I just said Bartolo Colon. Yeah.
You know, no.
No, I don't think
wouldn't
so.
Wouldn't make it, huh?
Ozzie Albies, way too small in Atlanta. Yep. Great player, way too small.
Someone said Aaron Judge, he'd play more D-end, not tight end. You got to think like D-end.
6'7".
6'7". That's a good D-end size.
Yeah.
He had to put a lot of weight to be a tackle or a guard, though.
So says Jorge Soler, just jacked. What position is he playing, though? Tight end?
He is so strong.
What's he playing? What position
How tall is he?
I'm not sure.
6'2", 6'3"?
Someone says Altuve is basically Kyler Murray.
Okay, too far. So there's 6'4", dude. I mean,
he'd be tight end.
He'd be an outside wide receiver.
Or just a linebacker.
Or Soler could be.
Linebackers are usually an end.
Someone says Mookie Betts isn't any smaller than Dante Hall. Yeah, but he's an exception. Like, that was the whole reason why I was.
Again, there's exceptions.
Daniel Vogelback.
They list Soler at 6'4", 215 pounds.
But he's yoked.
Yeah. The question for him would be speed. In the NFL, you got to be fast in pads, you know?
True.
It creates a whole different problem.
That's got to be a D end. 6'4", 215, lean enough to get around a blocker.
I still, like, here's the problem, though. I still think if you just said, what sport do the best athletes play? I still think it's the NBA. And I might be way off, but like if you've ever seen the NBA way up close, do they all run so fast and jump so high?
Oh, Aaron Judge played tight end in high school. I didn't know that.
That's just stupid. You got to guard someone 6 foot. He didn't even have to be good at it. He'd probably be good at tight end. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're in high school, you're 6 foot.
This is Byron Buxton of the Twins, cornerback.
Corner?
Man can't stay healthy. You gonna play football? He can't stay healthy in Major League Baseball. He can't get through 162 of baseball. You take one hit, he crumbled to dust. That's another part of this, man. You gotta be willing to take a hit.
We're back at it tomorrow here on Cody and Gold. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit more about this season as a whole and how we grade out a couple different areas as they get set for the divisional round in just a few weeks. Up next, CDOT. I hope CDOT's doing all right with some news that's out there about somebody he admired quite a bit. That's coming up. I don't know if he'll address it or not. He ignored my text about it. That's next.